Hey, everybody. Will you pray with me? Holy Spirit, just stay with me. Help me to remember that this is your story. And I just pray that you go and you talk to all the people in this room like you've been talking to me today. And just help us to remember who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey all, my name is Amber, and I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from control and pornography. At a young age, I came to understand and accept that Jesus had died on the cross to pay for the sin that I had done against God. But it was a head knowledge, not a heart knowledge. So I sought to create security for myself by being in control, trying to force chaos into order and force the fire to go out. Because my parents divorced when I was about 2, the early parts of my life were marked by instability and inconsistency. They were fighting, I was flying back and forth across the country several times a year. I was readjusting over and over again to new places and trying to understand multiple authority figures. And around the age of 9, I started an addiction to pornography and masturbation that would last for more than 13 years. As much as my parents loved me, and even though my every material need was met, and I never went without, my environment was chaos. I melded into the chaos and became part of it, developing anxiety that matched intensity with the conflict that was present in my multiple homes. My fight or flight kicked in, and from the beginning, I chose fight, and I did that fighting with my mind and my mouth. Because of the conflict I had with both of my step-parents, I ended up not being able to keep living with either my mom or my dad. I began to believe that I was really terrible, and that if I stayed any one place for very long, everyone else would find out. I didn't know how or why I was terrible, but I knew that it meant I could not be kept or belong anywhere. I longed for relief from the burn of insecurity. So I started dumping water on it by obsessively managing and meticulously watching everything I did and everything everyone else did to try and get ahead of the rejection. If I was intellectual enough, introspective enough, and aware enough, I could be better before I was able to cause damage or get hurt. But it was like adding water to a grease fire. Now I had new flames to put out. When I wasn't doing everything I could to be extremely attentive and intentional, I was doing everything I could to zone out and stop the painful and continual grinding of the gears in my head. My addiction to pornography and masturbation raged on as I swam deeper and deeper into sin to drown out my anxiety. It was never enough. Like drinking salt water, I burned for lack of hydration even as I became thirstier. I ventured so far on the internet that I scared myself back in the other direction. The cycle went on during college of manipulating and fighting to control my friends and myself until I couldn't anymore, and then use anything I could to numb myself. After deserting my friend group because they wouldn't engage with me the way I wanted, God, in his mercy, began to show me that they were coping with pain just like I was. They were just doing it on the opposite side of the spectrum, and that I needed to seek understanding and middle ground. As I sought reconciliation, they were merciful and kind. The fire began to die. Seeing my sin, confessing it, and repenting triggered healing, and God's faithfulness just continued. The reason I had been considering regen is probably my favorite way of God showing me my sin. I got married. I began to be faced more directly with how often I would manipulate, tear down, and criticize to gain control and feel secure. God used my love for Ryan to convict me. I had committed to forever with him, and I meant it. Also, even though by this time God had already given me a lot of freedom from it, I knew the damage my more than a decade-long run with pornography had done, and that Satan was likely to target me there. It was foolish to leave it unguarded. So when our foundation group leader invited me to regen, I finally went. And really, getting here and staying here wasn't hard for me. I was already a pro at being introspective and analyzing myself every waking moment. That mentality of needing to be better, that desperate desire to be good enough, drove me through the first steps. But when I really began to give myself to the process and his working through it, God showed me something new. He didn't necessarily want me to get better. I had come to him asking, please show me what to do to be better. But he said, no, 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 no more doing for you. I want you to know me. He said, you want me to put out the flames for you, but I want to give you constant access to eternal water. If you drink the water I give you, you'll never thirst. It will soothe all your pain and extinguish all your fires. The water I will give you will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life. My eyes were opened. I could see that when I try to reach and grasp control or quick solutions, my burnt skin cracks and the scar tissue is too tight. If I strive, I tear things open and I do more nerve damage. I've learned that he's got to do the whole process because I can't. So I crawl pitifully up onto the doctor table, close my mouth, open my hands, and just watch him weave his work. He's the water, and unless I'm right there with him, that spring inside me starts to diminish, and smoke begins to rise again. My circumstances may not change, my wounds may not heal when I want them to, but if I'm to get any healing at all, it's contingent on me staying still and face to face with God. He's the healer. So since I've been sitting still and focusing on knowing his heart and hearing his voice, the torrent of tireless self-analysis has quieted. I've learned to let go of situations that make me uncomfortable and release the outcome to God. I know now that any outcome, bad or good, is an opportunity for his skilled hands to work. He's blessed me with community that circles around me, and we remain on guard together. They know exactly what times porn and masturbation are most tempting, and we get it out into the light to kill it. We learn one another's weaknesses, and we fill in the gap when temptation and pain begin to bear down on us. They point me to water. They point me to God. I know he's my ultimate comfort and the only pleasure worth pursuing. He's working on me every day. He teaches me how to love my husband and family better instead of pushing them to comply with my unreasonable standards. How to control my tongue, and how to really invest in the lives of those around me. Life still burns, but when it does, I'm so thankful that my efforts and activities can rest in him for comfort and security. That when I lie down and sleep peacefully at night, it isn't because I've monitored everything and everyone close enough and taken care of everything I can think of, but because it is God that makes me to dwell in safety, regardless of the circumstances. Ecclesiastes 7:6 says, like the crackling of thorns under the pot, so is the laughter of fools. Like the thorns, it is the unwise who laugh or blow it off when they are on fire. And this place is a burn unit full of people saying, help, I'm on fire. And as we rest in the soothing care of a God who gave us his son to save us, we show each other our scars, and we reach out to others who are on fire, and we say, this way to water. My name is Amber. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from control and pornography. And the only reason I'm not drowning in both of them right this moment is because God, the greatest joy and pleasure you can find, asked me to be still and know him. Thank you.